Lucas, and welcome to And the Winner Is. Yes, we are here to recognise outstanding achievement in fields that other award ceremonies are just too sensible to be bothered with. We shall be honouring anything and everything, from most painful minor ailment to least terrifying screen villain. I'm joined tonight by three guests who have each brought their own nominations for our different categories. Please welcome Richard Herring, Sarah Millican, and someone I've always wanted to meet, David Walliams.
Welcome.
Now, Sarah, you won the Best Newcomer Award at the Edinburgh Festival last year. Do you remember much of that night?
I remember that I was starving the whole time and I just had to be interviewed by 30 people asking what I was going to do with the £4,000, and they were all really bothered by the fact that I just said I really wanted to pay it off my car loan.
Richard, you won a very prestigious award, haven't you?
Well, I've won a few. I won Games Master Golden Joystick. For being better at video games than Stuart Lee.
What year was that?
That was about 97.
Right. What computer game did you play?
We played it, had to edit like a little film together, so it's like a very primitive filmmaking software, but you could only use the images they had in the game. And then, so I won because Patrick Moore adjudged my film to be better than Stuart's, but it's, you know, it's a matter of opinion, that really. I don't know if I trust Patrick Moore's opinion on filmography. Stuart's was very good, I thought, but...
You were being very ungrateful.
Yeah, I am. He was dressed up. And then in 2005, probably the best thing I've done, I won the Daily Telegraph Worst Comedy Experience of 2000.
Wow.
My Edinburgh show, Someone Like Shoggart, was adjudged by the Daily Telegraph to be the worst comedic thing of the year. Not just... So that's including just jokes in pubs that have fallen flat. Titty Bang Bang came out that year, Balls of Steel. I mean, it's quite... There was a lot of competition.
Yeah.
For the worst thing, and I was apparently the worst.
David, you've won... I know you've won a few awards, haven't you? Do you have a favourite awards ceremony memory?
Well, I know we went to the GQ Awards and we got Men of the Year... comedians, I think. They thought they need someone with sort of real gravitas to give us the award, so they got Peter Andre. And he said, this is my favourite show, I love it, I'm so excited to meet these guys. The winner is Little Brian.
He did, didn't he? And when we got up, I said, thank you, I'm a big fan of your song Mysterious Grill. Yeah. So, on to the first award of the night. If you type the words British Prime Minister and sexy into Google, it produces no results. So, it's time for us to think really hard and see if we can find a recipient for the Lucas for sexiest British Prime Minister. So, let's have your nominations, please. Sarah.
Margaret Thatcher.
Lovely. David.
John Major.
Always a nosh. And Richard.
Spencer Percival.
I have no idea who that is. So the nominations for sexiest British Prime Minister are Margaret Thatcher, John Major, and someone called Spencer Percival. Sarah, why have you gone for the Baroness?
Because I think she's probably the most manly.
Oh, so you're coming at from the POV of a heterosexual woman?
Yeah.
Right, OK.
But I had vague recollections because my dad used to work down the pit, because I'm such a cliché, that he was involved quite heavily in the miners' strike, and I had vague recollections of my dad mentioning men that he worked with who really fancied her. So I rang him to sort of clarify in which way did they fancy, and he said it's because she was very domineering that they wanted to dominate her.
Yeah.
And I said, so it's not so much that they wanted to take her out to, like, the pictures or, you know, for a nice, like, candlelit dinner. He said, no, in a dark room. Oh, OK. But then he said she ended up becoming... Who's the woman with all the dogs?
And Barbara Woodhouse?
That's what I said, Barbara Woodhouse, but he meant Cruella de Vil.
Alan Clark was supposed to be very attracted to her. Yeah, I can sort of understand that, because she was in a position of power. I'm not sure she was aesthetically pleasing.
I mean, it would be good to tell your mates that when she came on the Havada, that's it. It's only... You know, like, when you're given a free pass with your girlfriend or boyfriend, there's one celebrity. I accidentally chose Anne Widdecombe as my free pass.
Accidentally?
Well, I just thought it was, like, a massive challenge. No-one's ever had sex with Anne Widdecombe. It would be quite cool to be... the man who managed to persuade her. But then I realised I've completely wasted my free pass.
Yeah, you're
so
stupid.
It was ridiculous.
There. There's Megan Fox knocking on your
and,
door.
You know, and... so it could be a lose-lose situation if she goes ahead with it.
Now you have to do.
Yeah, I would have to do it. If Anne Widdecombe, if you're listening, Anne, and you're just thinking maybe it's time. I'm a sensitive, gentle lover.
David, tell us about your sexiest British Prime Minister.
Well, I've chosen John Major because I was getting on an aeroplane from New York to London. He was on the same flight, and I phoned up my friend Dale Winton. I said, oh, you never guess who's on the flight. Who is it, darling? Who is it? I said, John Major. He said, oh, I fancy him so much! And Dale, as you know, has got unusual taste in many fancies. David Baddiel.
Yeah.
And Omid Jalili. He's got a very unusual taste. He said, oh, no, no, John Major. Oh, he's gorgeous, gorgeous. Which would explain why he gets, you know, hot babes like Norma and Edwina Curry.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? I tell you what, he's quite physically impressive.
He's quite
life.
Tall, isn't he?
He's tall and he's quite broad. Quite a domineering lover,
he's
I think.
He's not called John Minor, is he?
No, exactly.
In America, that seems to be very much getting. You've got Bill Clinton and JFK, and, you know, they're very sexy, and Obama's a very sexy man, but none of the British.
Quite
Tony Blair.
Tony Blair was quite
wasn't
sexy.
Wasn't really sexy, though, was he?
Well, you say that. He was quite sexy. Do you remember when we met him?
Yes, I do remember when we met him.
It was the Mirror Pride of Britain Awards. Yeah. And then I sort of flirted with him. And then we had a photo with him and I pulled just like a soppy face and leant my head on his shoulder.
You look like Sebastian in that photo.
Yeah, well, I thought it was an opportunity to somehow degrade and humiliate him.
We've met Gordon Brown, actually.
Oh, we're name-dropping.
I know, it's terrible.
Prime Ministers.
Did you find Gordon Brown in any way sexy?
No, no, I don't think... I know, he's not a sexy man,
no,
is he, really?
He's
probably
not.
His wife doesn't even find him sexy.
I'll find him sexy if he manages to win the next election.
Yes.
I'll be so impressed that I'll do anything he wants. That's another offer. Well, I'm just using this as a kind of pimping service for me and unattractive elderly members of Parliament.
Tell us, Richard, about your nomination, Spencer Percival.
I will. Spencer Percival, we all know him.
He
was the Prime Minister in 1812, not for very long. No. He's the only British Prime Minister who's been assassinated, and that, for me, makes him a little bit sexy.
Why?
Because it's sexy when people die young and stuff, that's sexy. And it's like JFK was assassinated, he was sexy.
Well, I can't really ask either of you if you fancy him, because I wouldn't imagine there are any photos in existence.
He was a small, slight and very pale man, if that
helps.
Oh,
well, that's for me. That's for me.
Oh, he sounds gorgeous.
Yeah. He is. What about Churchill?
Dog from the adverts?
What if you're...
Not my taste, mate, I'm sorry.
No, but if you're a chubby chaser, Churchill would be your dream, wouldn't he? Oh. No? Just me on that one? Well, we've got to find out who is going to win this award. John Major, interestingly enough, is the only one that any of us here have seen in the flesh. So I think for that reason, I declare the winner of the Lucas for Sexiest British Prime Minister. Congratulations, John Major. For every Doris Day, there's a Darren Day. For every Rodney Marsh, there's a Jodie Marsh. For every Tom Jones, there's a Steve Jones. It's time to find out which celebrity is least deserving of their stardom and has simply fluked their way to fame and fortune as we hear the nominations for the Lucas for Jammiest Celebrity. David.
The Queen.
Sarah.
Posh Spice.
Of course. And Richard.
Peaches Geldof.
So the nominations for Jammiest Celebrity are Her Majesty the Queen, Victoria Beckham and Peaches Geldof. David, why are you going for the Queen?
Well, she hasn't gone on Big Brother or the X Factor to get famous. You know, if she runs out of money, all she needs to do, you know, take a photo of herself and write £5 on it. If she needs a set of first-class stamps, she just goes to a passport booth and turns to the right and does some photos. She is a jammy cow.
She is.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I will be on TV, but only on Christmas Day. Everyone will be watching. That's when I'll do my speech.
You've met her, though, haven't you? Was she nice?
Yeah, it's another one of the celebrities I've met over the years. The Queen, and actually, I met her with my mum, who's actually in the audience tonight.
Wow, that's the first non-famous person you've mentioned in the show.
She won't like that. She thinks of herself as famous.
My dad used to tell me the Queen had a fake hand because she had to shake so many people's hands. When I was a kid, he said, yeah, it's just a fake one that she just slips on because, you know...
She's got her other hand inside. Just
like a kind of Rod Hull type creation.
Also, she meets people. She doesn't know who they are. Like, Anton Deck told me they were at the ITV... Another famous people I've met. they told me that they were 50 years of ITV. And the Queen went up to them. She said, do you work in front or behind the cameras? Anton Deck, do you not know who they are? And then she goes up to Chris Tarrant. Do you work in front or behind the cameras? He goes, oh, I'm in front of the cameras, Mom. She goes, I only watch television at the weekends. He went, I'm only on at the weekend. She knew who they were.
Yeah, she's put them in their place, wasn't she?
She does, yeah. She just pretends not to know who anybody is. I reckon Gordon Brown walks in. Who are you?
Do you think she watches herself on Christmas Day? Because it's pre-recorded, isn't it? It's
it
not
is,
live.
Yeah. Yeah. She's probably going,
everyone, no, shut up, shut up. It's a good beer, it's a good beer. No, shut up.
So, I want to find out who your jammiest celebrity was, Richard.
Mine is Peaches Geldof.
Right, OK.
She's the ambassador of the Mayfair Hotel in London.
Yes, she is, and she gets to stay there.
Yeah, she gets to stay in a hotel for free. What's she ever done? She married some bloke after 3 hours or something, a drummer.
I don't really know her. I mean, I see her around in the papers, I mean.
I imagine David's got some stories.
That hotel, is it a nice hotel or is it like the a travel lodge or
who's your jammy celebrity? Remind us, it's Posh Spice, isn't it?
Yeah, Victoria Beckham. I don't think she's got any talent. I mean, she might have that we're not aware of, like she might be really good at knitting or something like that. But none that she's been sort of paid quite handsomely for. And I'm just quite offended by her size. Like apparently I read that only 3% of men would take her to a desert island. You think, well, yeah, fair enough, because if you're going to go to desert island, you want somebody with a bit of meat on them in case... in case the relationship doesn't work out and you just get really hungry. Yeah.
You just fancy David Beckham, don't you?
Not in the slightest.
No, you don't.
Oh, God, no, no.
Is he not just... for you at all? Is he, did you look at him and go, ooh, David Beckham, yeah.
Well, I always fall in love with the mind and his is a little bit empty.
Oh, so who would be your ideal man?
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking, yeah.
Like Christian Bale, but that's...
Oh, yeah, because you look at Christian Bale and the first thing you think about is the mind, not the pecs.
Well, no, because he shouts at people and that made me slightly horny.
Oh, really? You like Posh Spice, don't you?
I do, actually. You know, she's one of the people I met and people go, oh, what's she like? She's actually a lot of fun, very, very funny, and... she's very funny. You haven't met her. She's very, very funny. And I was in Los Angeles. I went to the Galaxy game a little while back.
The LA Galaxy.
And afterwards she was going, you're gay, aren't you? And I went, no, I'm not. And she said, well, who would you rather have sex with, me or David? I went, well, David, obviously.
I mean, Victoria Beckham wasn't born with a silver spoon in her gob, was she? Whatever you think of her, she had to fight her way. Nobody handed her anything on a plate. She went to those auditions. She put in the hours, she went on the tours, she went to the recording studio. She didn't necessarily sing, we don't know about that. But she went, she had a nice day out, and it was very nice. She went, she read the horoscopes, whatever she did. She put up with Jerry, that's got to be something. She's put the hours in, and good for her, I say. Peaches has obviously been born with famous parents, but she's an ambassador for a hotel. Whereas the Queen, I'm sorry, it's purely circumstance with the Queen, purely circumstance. So for that reason, the winner of the Lucas for Jammiest Celebrity is Her Majesty the Queen. As the more perceptive listener will be able to tell, I've lost a lot of weight recently. Don't get me wrong, I'm by no means slim, but I have gone from what you'd call a size Vanessa to a size Fern. I lost my weight from exercising self-control and only eating 7 packets of crisps a day rather than the usual 9. But what do our guests believe is the ultimate system for guaranteed weight loss? Serve up your nominations, please, for most effective diet. Richard.
Eat less and exercise more.
Sarah.
Divorce.
And David.
I'm picking the diet you're on.
Thank you. So the nominations for most effective diet are eat less and exercise more, divorce, and whatever diet I'm on. So, Richard, why have you gone for this very controversial eat less and exercise more?
Well, because, you know, I think the diet industry is this massive... You know, there's just all these different books, exercise videos, everything, and actually it just boils down to you will lose weight if you either consume less calories than you're expending or do more exercise than you're consuming. So it's a very simple thing. There's like these thousands and thousands of books that come out every year kind of ripping people off, and actually the sort of truth of it. I saw a diet book called The Eat More, Weigh Less Diet. That one doesn't work. If you, if you eat more, you weigh more. It's, unless it works on the principle, if you go all the way around, you eat so much, you get so fat, you go all the way around past infinity and come out thin again. That's,
right, yeah,
that's the only way possible. I can see that work.
Which is possible. Have you tried any of the more outlandish diets?
I tried the Cambridge diet, which involves cycling around in a long blue scarf, being rude and obnoxious to ordinary, decent local people. You don't lose any weight, but you do get a part in any film by Kenneth Branagh. So it's
That is in many ways quite effective.
Thank you. Yeah,
Sarah, you've chosen divorce as your most effective diet.
Yeah, it was two things together really. I had gastroenteritis and I got divorced, and it was the two things together. Probably I was going to say hand in hand, but that'll make us cry. Divorce wasn't entirely effective because I did start off losing a lot of weight, because that's what happens when you become single, isn't it? Because you have to get skinny again so that you're attractive, and then you trap a man and then you can pile all the beef back on. But then I started comfort eating not long after that, and ended up, you know, so whenever I felt down, I just eat like a massive family trifle with me hands.
So you're saying divorce because when you're in a long-term relationship, when you're in a marriage, you don't go out anymore, do you? You just stay at home, you think, oh, I don't need to be thin anymore, and you just eat your body weight in crisps.
Yeah.
And you just watch reality TV and and your life stagnates. And that's
and then when somebody breaks your heart, you don't eat for ages. And then you sort of, even though nobody loves you, you feel thinner, and somehow that's better.
Now, you've gone for whatever diet I'm on.
Well, I know, it's a shame, because people listening at home, they can't see you, because, you know, you're on the radio now, you can't get on TV, you're on a radio show now. And you've lost a lot of weight, haven't you? Because what did you weigh? Was it 42 stone?
And well, I don't know.
How much have you lost? How much weight have you lost?
I've lost a little over 3 stone.
Well, it's like throwing a Dexter off the Titanic, isn't it, really? All credit to him. You've started exercising now, haven't you? You actually get up now when you need the toilet.
Yes. Well, interestingly enough, my way of losing weight was a combination of the two previous nominations, which is Eat Sensibly and Exercise and Divorce. So,
well, we all must win then.
I haven't won anything yet.
That's true.
Don't let her win, Matt. Don't let her.
I can't understand a word she says anyway. I'm assuming it makes sense. I don't know.
How was swimming the channel for losing weight? Did that help you lose some weight?
You had to put on weight, didn't you?
I had to put on weight to do it. You'd be good at it. You'd have to be quite fat to do it. And, no, you do. I had to put on about 2 stone because I lost loads of weight in the training.
Right.
And then I had to put on weight because you need a sort of layer of fat to get
the blubber.
You on. Yeah.
You need to be like half man, half whale.
How did you put weight on? What did you?
I just hung out with Matt a bit more. No, I just ate things like cakes and cheese and chocolate.
You like cupcakes, don't you?
Oh, yeah, lovely cupcakes. Oh, yeah.
And fairy cakes, don't you?
Love them, love them, yeah. But it was an amazing thing I did for charity, so let's just mention it again. I did actually swim the channel for charity and raise a lot of money for people.
You know what?
Who are poorer than me.
Do you know what? We met in Australia a woman who had swum the channel and then stopped at the end and then just turned around and swam all the way back.
Matt, she did a three-way.
Right, exactly. She swam the channel all the way to France, swam all the way back, and then her...
And then her mum went, you're bottling it, you're bottling it, do another length.
And she did.
And that was true, and this woman, I think, is the only woman to have done a three-way.
The day after you swam the channel, didn't someone ask you to swim?
Yeah, I had to give a talk for another charity at the House of Commons, and some woman came up to me. I've been out of the water 24 hours. I was rocking through tiredness, and my throat was sore from all the sort of water, and a woman came up to me and went, will you do a sponsored swim for our charity? And I went, I just did one yesterday. You do it, you lazy cow.
Well, I have to decide a winner for this award, and actually, as has been suggested, I think you're right. I think a combination of eating sensibly and exercising and having some severe trauma in your life, i.e. divorce, is the perfect combination for extreme weight loss. So congratulations, because all three nominations have jointly won the Lucas for Most Effective Diet. Now, as a serious theatre-goer, there is nothing I like more than a bit of the old bard. I've enjoyed a power nap through Measure for Measure, a proper schluff during Henry IV Part II, and as for King Lear, I was out like a light. But what about my guests? Are any of Shakespeare's fine works able to keep them awake? It's time to hear your nominations, please, for the Lucas for Least Boring Shakespeare Play. Sarah.
Romeo and Juliet, the film.
The film, right. Richard.
Macbeth, the play.
David.
No sex, please, we're British.
So the nominations for the prestigious title of Least Boring Shakespeare Play are Romeo and Juliet, the film. Macbeth, the play, and a little surprisingly, perhaps, No Sex, Please, We're British. Now, Sarah, why have you gone for Romeo and Juliet, the film?
Because I've always been a big fan of film and I've never been a fan of Shakespeare. I think it's really pretentious and crap.
What, Shakespeare?
Yeah, well, generally.
He speaks very highly of you.
Oh, have you met him as well, have you?
Yes, I have.
Now, I want you to play nicely or I'm going to separate you, OK?
But I did really like the film. I thought the film was amazing. Baz Luhrmann's Shakespeare's...
nice, because it had all colours and noises, didn't
it? Yeah, flashy tops and that. Yeah,
and it had the fella out of Titanic, and it had someone black in it, and it had some music, so it was all very good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But we do owe a lot to Shakespeare, obviously. I mean, there's something like a third or a quarter of all the sayings in the English language are thought to have derived from his works. And, of course, his plays are often templates for pretty much every other film and play that exists. You're now about to undermine that by, you know, saying, oh, Mannequin 2, Mannequin on the Move isn't, you know, The Two Gentlemen of Verona or something, but, you know...
I think it was him who originally said, yeah, but no, but yeah, but
yes,
no,
he was,
but yeah.
Yes. It was. Yeah, but nay, but, probably. Do you like Romeo and Juliet? Do you think that's a boring one? I think it's one of his most exciting ones.
At the end of Romeo and Juliet, when Juliet takes a potion, doesn't she, that puts her to sleep, and then Romeo comes in and goes, oh, no, she's dead, and stabs himself. He should really have sort of taken a pulse or something there before. He could have waited a little, and then she wakes up and goes, oh, no, he's dead as well. I think they could have done it, kept it going a little bit longer.
I think so as well.
I think he should have then woken up and gone, oh, no, she's really dead. Yeah. Killed himself. They could have made it a lot funnier.
They could have kept that going, couldn't they?
Yeah, most...
missed opportunity, yeah. So you've gone for Macbeth.
Yeah, it's quite short, Macbeth, which is quite good. There's lots of murders in it, ghosts in it.
There's witches.
There's
at the
three
beginning.
Witches, and then my favourite thing is it starts with three witches who can see the future. You know, they're magic. They make all these predictions. And the first line of the play is, "When shall we three meet again?" I think they'd know, wouldn't you?
David, you've gone for No Sex, Please, We're British.
Yeah, it's one of Shakespeare's later plays. It's what a lot of historians and critics have called one of the problem plays.
It's not, I'm not sure...
It's a tragedy. It's about an assistant bank manager who accidentally receives a mail order of Scandinavian pornography.
Right.
He did that plot a few times over the years. And there is, of course, a film version... that stars, you know, some of our top Shakespearean actors, Beryl Reed, Derek Guiler and Ronnie Corbett.
Yes. I'm going to have to stop you there. I don't think No Sex, Please, We're British was written by William Shakespeare.
I think you'll find if you check the internet, Matt, that he did write it.
No Sex, Please, We're British was written by Alistair Foote and Anthony Marriott, not William Shakespeare.
And Shakespeare didn't do any of it.
Well, he wrote the third act, I think. He wrote some of the gags. He wrote the bit when they're in their pyjamas.
The thing I'll say about Shakespeare, he's not a great comic writer, though, is he, really?
No.
You know, when you watch it now, they're quite hard. You know, it's only English teachers that laugh at the jokes, like the porter scene in Macbeth. Where it says, yeah, I was strangled for stealing out of a French hose. And someone goes, oh, ho, ho. An English teacher laughs. And they go, oh, well, of course, in 1485, French tailors were famous for their very slim cuts. And I always feel sorry for the actors who go out. They have to try and make jokes that are 500 years old work. As I saw you do in Troilus and Cressida.
Yes. I did a Shakespeare play 10 years ago and the director said, be off message, be off message. So it was Troilus and Cressida, so I started putting in reference to like Anne Widdecombe's breasts and things like that in there. Which
Oi, watch out, she's mine.
Yeah, sorry. It didn't go down well, no. It wasn't my finest moment. So it's time to decide who's going to win the Lucas for Least Boring Shakespeare Play. We have to get rid of No Sex, Please, We're British because it's not by Shakespeare. And Macbeth, after the bit with the witches, I can't remember what happened. So we're going to have Romeo and Juliet.
With the award ceremony almost at an end, it's time to swiftly award the Lucas of Lucases, our special prize that this week goes to the worst behaved guest. And for me, frankly, your language has been from the gutter. You've pushed the limits and it's been upsetting and traumatic. So congratulations to the recipient of the Lucas for Worst Behaved Guest, Mr. Richard Herring. Congratulations, Richard, with your filthy, foul mouth. Is there anything you'd like to say?
This is ridiculous that I'm the worst behaved. What are you talking about?
He's throwing things at me, basically.
This is an outrage. I've not been so offended since I won the Daily Telegraph Worst Comedy Experience 2005. I've been very well behaved, and anyone who thinks I haven't is a complete... Have I run out of time?
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks once more to all my guests, Richard Herring, Sarah Millican and David Walliams. Do join me again next time when we'll finally find out the winner of the Lucas for most painful wax job. Is it back, sack or crack? Goodbye. And The Winner Is was presented by me, the Right Reverend Matt Lucas. The guests were Richard Herring, Sarah Millican and a little lad with a big talent, David Walliams. The programme associates were Bill Matthews and Jed Parsons, and it was devised by Ashley Blaker and Bill Matthews, and I came up with all the good bits, and it would be terribly remiss of me if I didn't say that. And The Winner Is was produced by Ashley Blaker.